Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you.
I'm so glad you're here this morning. If you're new here, my name is Paula, and I'm one of the pastors, and I'm just excited to share our message today. We are in a sermon series called Mindset Reset, because when we think better, we live better, and we want to start the year 2026 with allowing God to transform our minds, because how we think will shape our life. We're going to be in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, if you want to get a head start. If you don't have a Bible, we have free Bibles out in the lobby. You can pick one up after service, or you can download a great app called YouVersion. It has the whole Bible on there. It has devotions on there as well. Today, I will be reading out of the New Living Translations, and I encourage you this morning to take notes. In your seatbelt pockets are some note cards if you don't have a notebook with you. We have been diving into classic Old Testament stories. Pastor Brad started us off with Gideon hiding in the wine press, and the mindset change was going from victim to victor. And then Pastor Eric talked about the three boys in the fiery furnace and going from doubting to believing. And today we're going to be talking about King Jehoshaphat. Now, he had a war declared against him, and the Holy Spirit came and said that the battle is not yours, but God's. We are talking today about going from worry to rest. So here, King Jehoshaphat had a messenger come to him and say that these armies were on their way. It was actually not one army, but three armies. They had joined forces, and they said that the army was a vast army marching against him. What that meant to him was that he was outmatched. He was going to be overwhelmed. And the messenger said that they were coming from beyond the Dead Sea. Doesn't that sound intimidating? But this was actually the actual location of where they were coming from. They were coming from the other side of the Dead Sea. And what this meant for Jehoshaphat was that they were already at his border, and they were about a day and a half away. He was going to have very little time to prepare. So let's go to verse 3. It says, Jehoshaphat was terrified. I bet. He's got this coalition of armies coming against him. So he was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of earth. At this point, he is humbling himself because he knows, I am king over Judah, but Lord, you are ruler over all the kingdoms. He says, you are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. They're going to be able to stand against me, but they cannot stand against you, Lord. He says, oh, our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did not this land forever, or did you give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? He is remembering and praising God for what he has already done. Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. Let's pray. God, we just thank you today for this message. This message has already, just as I was preparing it, been so meaningful to me. So God, today we just ask that you help us to understand your message, to know that we can go from worry to rest. And God, I just pray that the word that you have for the people here, that it is spoken through me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we are talking today about how do we go from worry to rest. And I want to ask a question. I want to know, how do you respond when things come up that might cause you to worry? For example, let's talk about last week. Let's talk about the blizzard of 2026. This had the potential to be a historic storm with 20 inches of snow, ice on top of that, power outages, I mean, just really shutting us down. How did you respond? I figured that there's probably about three different ways that people respond. The first way is the survivors. Like, you're like, I'm going to fill up my gas tank, get some firewood, and buy toilet paper. I'm in for the essentials. Who are my survivors here? Okay, a few survivors. Okay, then the next category is the adventurer. This one is saying, I need hats, gloves, and a sled. We're going to have some fun, and I'm building the biggest snowman in my entire life. Who are my adventurers? I already heard you. You guys are my people. I've lived in Oklahoma long enough to know that if we're going to get 20 inches of snow, we better enjoy it. Then the third category are professional overthinkers. You are professionals and you are good at it. So as soon as you heard ice, you immediately started thinking, okay, ice, the roads are going to be bad. What if I have to get out? Is my car going to make it? Are the streets going to be plowed? Is there going to be black ice? What if I come up to a stoplight and I fishtail? Nobody likes to fishtail, except for Curtis, who does it on purpose. But the rest of us, we don't like to fishtail. It's embarrassing. I mean, everybody can see you. Or maybe you were like, what if I get stuck at home? What if the schools are out? Or what if we do lose power and we lose power for weeks? By the time the storm came, you were exhausted from overthinking it. And I understand that this storm hit harder in other areas, and it had the potential to hit harder here. And so there's a responsibility we have to think about things and to prepare for things. That's all good, because we don't want to get caught off guard, right? But what happens when our intention is to prepare and it turns into worry? And not just worry, but where we are spiraling in worry. Because we've all had that happen to us. We start thinking, worry starts as a thought, and we start thinking, what if this happens? What if that happens? I'm concerned about this. I don't know what to do. It starts as a thought, but Scripture tells us that we have to capture our thoughts. And the reason we have to capture our thoughts is because if we don't get a hold of our thoughts, it turns into anxiety. Now, anxiety is when our thoughts get stuck in our head and they replay over and over and over again. This is when you wake up in the morning and you're thinking about it. You're thinking about it when you go to sleep at night, if you're even able to sleep, because it keeps playing over and over. And if we don't stop the spiral at that point, it turns into stress. Now, stress is when your body joins the group chat. Your body says, I want in on this. And you start to feel the worry in your body. Like, you'll feel the tension, the tightness in your shoulders, a knot in your stomach. You get headaches. Your blood pressure rises. Your body actually feels the worry. It takes it on. And if we don't stop the spiral at that point, it turns to mental exhaustion. This is when your mind and your body says, I've had enough. I cannot carry this anymore. I need rest. I'm done. And this isn't a point of weakness. This means that you have been strong for too long. and now you're tired, and you're tired of it, and you're looking for it to stop. So what today are you worried about? And where on the spiral would you say you are? Is it just beginning? You're just worried? Or has it gone into your head and it's replaying over and over? Or is it already in your body? You're already feeling it. Or have you reached the point where you say, I'm done? And how do we stop this? How do we stop the spiral? How do we stop worry from turning to anxiety and anxiety from turning to stress and stress from turning into mental exhaustion? I want you to write these three words down. Pray, fast, stand. If we're going to stop the worry cycle, we have to pray, we need to fast, and we need to stand. This is what we see in the story of King Jehoshaphat. He was threatened. He had this vast army coming against him, a coalition of enemies. He is in the middle of an impossible situation. Verse 3 tells us, Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and, say it with me, begged the Lord for guidance. The very first thing he did was pray. He didn't overthink it. He didn't go into worry. He didn't spiral. He prayed. And Jehoshaphat, he was actually one of the most powerful, successful kings. The other nations feared him, which is probably why they joined forces together against him. He had a massive, organized army, and he was a faithful leader. Yet, he was terrified. What he was feeling was an emotional burden, the feeling of the weight of what was to come. And I'm telling you, it's okay to have emotions. It's okay to feel things. Jesus had emotions. He felt compassion. He felt pain. He felt anger. He felt betrayal. These are honest, intense emotions. When we feel the burden, we feel the weight of what's coming or what might happen. The problem is when we allow it to turn to worry, that spirals. Did you know that most of the things that we worry about never actually happen? Research has shown this. They had some participants fill out all the things that they were worried about. And then they tracked it to see what would happen. And they found that 90% of the things that they worried about did not happen. That means 9 out of 10 things that you worry about will never happen. And the things that did happen, many of them reported that it wasn't as bad as they had imagined, or that they handled it better than they thought that they would. We waste an enormous amount of mental energy on worry. And the Apostle Paul tells us straight up, don't worry. In Philippians 4:6, he says, don't worry about anything. Now, he's not saying don't have feelings. He's not saying don't have the emotions. What he's saying is we're going to take those feelings and emotions and we're going to take them to God. He says, don't worry about them. Instead, pray about everything. Use your worry as a signal not to think more, but to pray more. Because guess what? Worry has no power, but there is power in prayer. Amen? And he says, tell God what you need. This is praying. And thank him for all he has done. Then, after you have prayed, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. He is saying that when you pray, you will receive a peace that will stop the spiral. And I love this part. His peace will guard your hearts and minds. When you pray, God's peace will put a guard over your heart, put a guard over your mind, so you don't spiral into worry, anxiety, stress, and mental exhaustion. Can somebody give God some praise for that? Some of you are still sitting in your worry. That's okay, we'll get there. The first way we stop worry is to pray. And the second way we stop worry, the worry spiral, is to fast. So go back to verse 3. The rest of it says, he also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem, and say it with me, to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat doesn't go away by himself. He has all the people come together to pray, to fast, and to say, God, we need you. This is what we were doing on Friday, what Pastor Brad talked about, our day of prayer, 2026, day of prayer and fasting. We all came together to pray and fast, to say, God, we need you. Can you imagine if the king was terrified how the people are feeling? I mean, they depend on the king to protect them and to fight for them. But the king says, we're not going to fight. We're going to fast. This next Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. Seahawks and the Patriots. Do we have any Seahawk fans in here? Zero? Oh, we have some sad people in here. All right, what about Patriot fans? Anybody rooting for Patriots? We have a couple people rooting for Patriots. Okay, this is a sad day for all of us, I guess. But can you imagine if Jehoshaphat was head coach of one of these teams? Let's say he was the head football coach of the Seahawks this week. He's in the meeting room, and he's got all the coaches in there, and they're around the table, and they're watching playbacks from previous games, and they're whiteboarding all the new plays. And Jehoshaphat says, I want the team to come in. Bring the team in. So the team all comes in. They're all geared up, and they're ready to go. And Jehoshaphat says, hey, listen, men, you can take your helmets off because we're not going to practice. We're not going to run any new plays. We're not going to do any skill sets. You know what we're going to do? We're going to fast. Can you imagine the linebackers? They're like, coach, come on. We need the calories, right? And hear me. I am not saying that we fast as a strategy for an outcome. Trust me, as a Kansas City Chiefs fan, it doesn't work. I tried. Pastor Brad's been trying for the Raiders for years. But this is what Jehoshaphat was saying to his army, to his people. He was saying, forget the battle plan. Forget strategizing. We're going to seek God. He wasn't trying to twist God's arm or to pressure him or to force a miracle. Fasting isn't about getting something from God. Fasting is about positioning ourselves to trust him. Earlier, Pastor Eric talked about Lent coming up, the 40 days before Easter, where we refocus on Jesus, and we have a time of prayer and fasting. And one of the things that we hear people talk about when they talk about Lent is giving something up for Lent. This is very popular. People give up. You might have done it. I've done it before. Maybe give up social media for Lent, give up sweets, or give up coffee. But I think that sometimes we can get, it could be misunderstood that giving something up for Lent is biblical fasting. And it's not. So what is biblical fasting? I'm glad you asked. Will you write this down? Biblical fasting is abstaining from food for a time to humble our hearts and seek God through prayer. Biblical fasting is abstaining from food. That doesn't mean we give up social media. It doesn't mean we give up coffee. We abstain from food. It means we do not eat. For a time, it can be a meal, a day, a week. It's for a specific time for a purpose. And the purpose is to humble our hearts and to seek God through prayer. When I first started fasting, I didn't understand this. I didn't understand biblical fasting. I just wasn't eating. And I got nothing out of it. I didn't get light from heaven shining down on me. I didn't hear voices. There wasn't an angel that came to visit me. No goosebumps. All I got was hangry. I can tell you, my family did not want me to fast anymore. They were like, we will stand in the gap for you, Mom. We will fast. Please eat. But I was missing a very important part about fasting. Let's look at it again here. Biblical fasting, abstaining from food, I had that part down. For a time to do what? Humble our hearts. I was missing that part. I needed to humble myself. I needed to quit pretending that I was in control. And the other part I was missing was seek God through prayer. I needed to give God control. Release the control to him. I needed to turn my prayer, my meal time into prayer time. And I needed to turn my hunger pains into cries out to God. If you want to stop the worry spiral, I encourage you this Lent to practice prayer and fasting. We're going to be doing it on Fridays all through Lent. If you want more information about fasting, you can go to our website and get some information there. But look, when the pressure was the greatest for Jehoshaphat, he asked the people to humble themselves, to seek the Lord, and they cried out, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. We're lost. We don't know what the outcome's going to be. We have no control over the outcome. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We are seeking you for help. This wasn't about strategy. It was about dependence. Prayer says, God, I need you. Fasting says, I need you more than anything else. We stop the worry spiral when we pray, when we fast, and the third one is when we stand. Let's look at verse 9. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, anything, such as war, plague, famine, we can, say it with me, come to stand in your presence. They're saying we can humble ourselves and come before you, before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us because we are going to release control to you and you will hear us and rescue us. Now imagine for a moment how the soldiers were feeling. Like there's these three armies that are coming up against them. They don't have time to prepare appropriately, and they're going to be outmatched. They've got to be thinking, what is it I'm about to face? Is this the day I die? But they cry out to the Lord. And they say, we can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. This is not a hope statement. This was a bold faith statement, a declaration of who God is. You will hear us. You will rescue us. When you pray, when you fast, you can stand in confidence knowing that God is going to hear you, that he is going to rescue you. That's who he is. That's who he always has been. Whenever the people of God have cried out to God, He has heard them, he's rescued them, and he has delivered them. This was an impossible situation for them, but not for God. In the middle of this, an angel told Jehoshaphat, told the people, the battle's not yours, it's God's. And if you read on in the story, you will see that they didn't even have to fight. God had the three armies fight against each other. By the time Jehoshaphat got to the lookout point, the battle was already over. God had already had the victory. And here's the promise. If you go down to verse 30, this is after the battle's over. It says, Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. This is the promise. When you pray, when you fast, when you stand, you can have rest on every side, to the left, to the right, behind you, in front of you, completely surrounded in God's peace, and you can rest in his peace. He's done it for me. I have been on the worry spiral. I have worried myself all the way to mental and physical exhaustion. But when I cried out to God, he heard me, he rescued me, he delivered me, and he gave me rest. And I'm telling you, he's going to give you rest. If you pray and you fast and you stand, the rest is coming. It may not feel like it. It may not, you may not see it, may not seem like it, but it is coming, and you stand until the rest comes. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Oh, holy God, ruler of all kingdoms, God, you are the ruler of our kingdom. God, we thank you, we praise you that we can come to you with anything and you will hear us and you will rescue us and you will give us rest. We praise you. This morning, I just want to give us a moment to get some things right with God. Maybe you're a follower of Jesus, and maybe you've been holding on to a lot of control in your life. A lot of control. You haven't given God control. You haven't surrendered your life fully. Maybe something in this message God has been speaking to you about, something you need to turn over to him, something you need to repent. Or maybe there is just a sin in your life that you're aware of that you need to repent from this morning. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus and you're like, I have been doing this on my own too long. If this is the God you serve, I want him to be my God too. I want to make Jesus my Lord, make him my Savior. I want to surrender my life, turn away from my old life, from my sins. I want to repent and turn my life to Jesus. If that's you, if you are a follower of Jesus and there's just some things in your life you need to turn over to God today, or you're not a follower of Jesus and today's your day to say, I want Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord.
We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.